Welcome back to the Grappling Discourse podcast. We've got to start off with the question, is Gordon Ryan done? Is this the end? The guy's 27 years old, but he is unhealthy. His body is an absolute wreck. His immune system must just be gone. I mean, the dude has been dealing with illness after illness for the past few years. Now, most recently, Gordon Ryan is suffering from strep throat. Now, here's the thing about Gordon. If we go back to ADCC, the man's on top of the world, has one of the all-time great performances in our sport, double golds. Really, he's on top. He's the king. Everything that he said the past few years was validated. What he did to Andre Gervais really just showcased, he is that good. He is who he says he is. He signs a deal with Flow Grappling, the first $1 million contract. He's planning on staying super active in 2023. And I think he was about to showcase this a new level because he was saying he was feeling better and better all the time. His stomach was finally allowing him to eat. He was having a much easier time putting on muscle and building size. I mean, I think he was about to just destroy this year. But instead, we haven't seen him compete one time. Zero times. It is almost the end of May. We're almost halfway through this year. Zero Gordon Ryan appearances. And that sucks, you know? He's the best guy in the sport. Where's he been? Because I know Gordon was supposed to headline this most recent WNO. That was Flow Grappling's plan. But he couldn't do it. And now Gordon is saying, he's already said, his most recent setback has been this strep throat. Supposedly he says he had strep throat for 40 days that doctors could not heal it. They tried multiple rounds of different antibiotics over the course of those 40 days and just nothing worked. So he pumps himself full of antibiotics again. It's not helping. Now he's saying that his stomach's a wreck again. He's kind of back to feeling nauseous all the time. Yesterday, he had his tonsils removed as well as he fixed his deviated septum. So while neither of those are like major surgeries, he's going to be out a little bit of time, but his body is going through it. And I got to wonder, when's he going to be back? Like, let's say, you know, the most recent rounds of antibiotics set him back to square one or set him back even further. I mean, people, you might not realize it. I know a lot of you do, but some of you might not realize how damaging antibiotics are. Like, they kill everything. And while they're super important, they have saved countless upon countless lives. At the same time, too much antibiotics is terrible for your body. It's one of the worst things you can do to your body. So I'm just really interested to see, because he's 27 years old, yet he looks old. That's what everybody's saying. Like, over the past year, it looks like he's aged 10, 15 years. He looks unhealthy right now. I'm sure all the stress and just who knows what's all going on in his life, from the battles with his brother to, you know, he's constantly on Instagram talking trash back and forth with people. It seems like he's been laying low recently, and I'm sure a lot of that has to do with his health. But man, I mean, I just got to wonder, how much does he have left? Is he going to be able to do hard training camps, or should he even be doing hard training camps? With the health of his body, should he be doing hard matches? I don't know. I'm really interested to see, though, when we see Gordon back on the mats and what he looks like. Because obviously, look, if Gordon comes back in the next couple months, he'll be fine. But imagine he takes another couple year layoff. Is he going to be able to use steroids? Is that part of the issue? Who knows? If he stopped competing right now, he's one of the five best grapplers of all time. But man, you know, if he stopped right now, there would always be that what if. Because this is a sport you can compete well until you're 40 years old. I mean, he's not even in his prime yet. But man, you got to wonder, is his prime already past? Because is his body just going to continue to get worse and worse and deteriorate more and more? I don't know. Definitely wishing Gordon the best. I hope he heals up and gets back out there, but I just don't think that we're going to see him for a while. Now, I want to talk about one of my blue belts, or one of our blue belts at 10th Planet Decatur, because they competed recently as one of our females, and we had a chat about her competition, and I just wanted to give you guys, like the white and blue belt specifically, just some competition advice. Now, she made a couple of big mistakes in this competition. The biggest being, look, guys, competition, especially if you're not competing all the time, is not the place to experiment with techniques. You need to get to your A game as fast as possible. Now, if you're a professional competitor, or you're somebody that competes every other weekend, you can make a competition like a priority. So let's say you want to do no-gi pans, like that's your big one. Or you want to do like an EBI trial, that's your big competition you're gearing up for. Well, you can experiment in some of the local competitions. You might do a Naga to experiment with your top game, like your wrestling and top game. You might experiment with like, hey, okay, I'm going to go for more leg locks. I'm going to try this new leg lock position I've been working. But you need to have that, like, if you're, the big goal is no-gi pans, like you better have like your game plan down. And if you don't compete all the time, or you're like, this is your first competition, or you compete once a year, like each time you go out there and compete, you shouldn't be like, oh, I learned this move like a month ago, I've been kind of experimenting with it, I'm going to see how it does in competition. I mean, you can do that, but that is not the best strategy. You need to have your game dialed in. You need to be able to get to it as soon as possible. Get comfortable. Get to a place where you're able to be comfortable and start attacking with grips to start progressing your offense. And she had been working, and I know she's been experimenting a lot with wrestling. When I'm watching her roll, or the times, you know, that we roll, she gets on her feet. She tries to like work, experiment a lot with wrestling, but it's definitely not where she's most comfortable. I've seen her compete two times now, and she's had a couple of really good performances and a couple of bad performances. And the times that she looked really, really good, you know where she was on bottom. She was playing her guard. She's got a really good closed guard. It's super dangerous. Really good dead orchard. Really good off balances. It's really, really good. On top, again, that doesn't look quite as comfortable. And in this most recent tournament, both her matches, the girl, like she just didn't pull guard. The girl pulled guard, and she struggled with staying out of that girl's offense. Just made a couple of big mistakes. Now, here's what I would say. When you're going and competing at white and blue belt, purple belt, this isn't necessarily true. So if you're competing in the expert division, or you're going against like purple, brown, and especially like brown and black belts, this is not true. So don't hear me. Don't listen to this and hear that. But white and blue belts, your opponents are going to have a specific plan, right? In the sense of like they have a game that they play, and that's really it. They're not going to be able to be very versatile. So if your opponent is trying to force wrestling and trying to get to the top position, I pretty much guarantee that their bottom game isn't very good. If they're sitting guard, I guarantee they're trying to get you into one of two places. They're trying to win an inside position, and they're trying to elevate and entangle your legs. They're trying to get to like an Ashigarami or a Reap or whatever. They're trying to do that. Or they're trying to get you in closed guard. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. I'm telling you, a white belt, super good at like straight ankle locks. They're not going to be very good at passing the guard. They're probably not going to have very good takedowns. This guy's got super good takedowns. Well, he's probably not going to be able like to like take your back and rear naked choke you, you know? And look, there are definitely outliers out there, right? I'm just saying for the most part. And so you can assume if somebody sits to guard in front of you, that you really need to be wary of giving up that inside space. And you cannot allow closed guard. So don't allow inside space so they can elevate you and enter a leg. And don't allow them to get closed guard. You should be training that. You need to have an anti-wrestling plan. So, hey, I'm going to stay on my feet. Or, okay, I'm going to pull guard. Well, now you're trying to do that. But if you're trying to stay on your feet, you need to have that anti-wrestling plan. If they sit to guard, you just, hey, brush up on your leg lock defense and make sure that you don't end up in closed guard. If you do, just brush up on your closed guard passing and just your ability to break closed guard with your instructor. And I guarantee you'll find that white and blue belt competition becomes a lot easier. Because I was talking to another one of my guys. He just competed for the first time. And he did well. He won a match and lost a match. The match he lost by points. You think he lost 2-0 in overtime. And he was just so worried. It was his first competition. And everybody does this in the early like stages, especially a white belt. You build up your opponent to have all these weapons and like, this guy might do this or he might do that, or I'm kind of nervous to do this because he might grab mine. Like, no, look, he's a white belt. You're going against another white belt. Just play your game. If you're rolling consistently with like higher belts, this is going to be way easier than that. Yeah, there's a little more pressure, but this dude's not going to be as good as the purple belt you're used to rolling with. So go in there with a little bit of confidence. Try some things out. Right? Don't build this person in. Just understand they're going to have a limited game, much like you have a limited game. But for some reason in our minds, we trick ourselves that our opponent knows all these things and they're going to be able to chain all these moves together and he's a beast wrestling. But if I, you know, if I give up my legs, he's going to be able to leg lock me and then he might do this and that, yada, yada. Like, look, no, he's got a couple things he's good at. You got a couple things you're good at. Get to that first and you're going to win. Plain and simple. Now, I'm telling you guys, before you compete, just give yourself like 2 weeks to really find and assess where you're comfortable and get to that game. So in the gym, roll with a couple of your like really good training partners that give you tough rounds, not the people that are way better than you, that are just putting too much pressure on where you can't get comfortable. Just somebody that like, hey, like we go back and forth. This is somebody I could see myself competing against. I'm a 1.5-year white belt. I'm going to roll with my other, my homie that's also a 1.5-year white belt. Well, just see where you feel most comfortable with them. If you're on the feet with them and you don't feel that comfortable, even if you're getting takedowns, like, hey, let's not start the match out like that. Go ahead and pull. Or if you really feel good, like, okay, like I consistently get takedowns. I feel good on top passing. You know, let's stick with that. Kind of set some paths and some ideas and then visualize yourself hitting those paths. And you're going to find the competition goes a lot smoother. Building a game is much easier than people make it out to be. Because when people think of building a game, they think of adding hundreds of moves. Like, okay, I'm building my game. I need this. I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. No, no, no. It starts by just adding one move. Building a game takes years. It is a marathon. It is a long-term process. So don't let this idea of building a game overwhelm you. Because people all the time go, I just don't feel like I have a game. I need to build, like, I don't have enough tools to build a game yet. Like, no, no, no. Like, if you're a blue belt, you've got the tools. You've got some things you're good at, I promise. I've never seen, at least at our school, there's not one blue belt at our school that doesn't have something they're good at. That's your damn game, right? Builds off of that. I can think of every blue belt. Names are popping up in my head right now, and I can think of one thing they're good at. Like I said, that girl that competed, her closed guard isn't. It's probably better than my closed guard. My closed guard sucks. So get to your damn closed guard. You got a straight ankle lock, get to your straight ankle lock. You guys have games out there. You're just not confident in yourselves. And you're overestimating like what a game is. Like, oh, man, I don't have enough moves. Like, no, no, no. You're not a black belt. You don't have a black belt's game, but you got a pretty good blue belt's game. You got a pretty good purple belt's game. Hey, as a white belt, you're killing it. So just take those tools you got, be confident in them, and continue to grow and add things slowly, one at a time. Till next time, guys, I love and appreciate you. Peace.